Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Monday morning, September 26, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host, and God was willing. I'm here this morning after 9 hours or so ago putting out the one last night since I hadn't gotten it done Sunday morning. So we are back here on Monday morning and it's very, very early. Needless to say, I have my coffee. I'm definitely going to need it today, especially because I think we're going to end up having my grandson most of the week. It's certain periods of time each day, but we're going to have him over here. And of course I will be working, but very regularly he calls for me and I need to go down and spend time with him and love on him and all that. Which is, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. It is wonderful. People always told me that having grandchildren was very, very different from having children. It's a totally different thing. And I mean, you know, logistically it is. I mean, you know that. I mean, that's kind of an intellectual thing. Of course it is. But wow, you just really don't realize, and it is wonderful, very, very wonderful having a grandchild. It doesn't have to be a grandson, but having a grandchild, definitely wonderful. And of course, I forgot to say something yesterday, but I'll definitely put it out there, though I don't even know that they listen to this. But my son and daughter-in-law celebrated their second anniversary yesterday, so. That's wonderful. I love both of them. They are such amazing people, and it is so awesome to live very close to them and be able to spend time with them regularly. It has been great. So definitely happy anniversary to them. And I'm very thankful, of course, because then I have a grandson and I get to play with him. And I'm not the one who says this, but everybody else seems to say this, that I'm his favorite, that he is definitely Papa's boy. So definitely looking forward to that today. So let's go ahead and let's get rolling with our reading. The purpose of this podcast is the public reading of the Word of God. We also read through some Puritan prayers and Charles Haddon Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional for the current day. But it also has to do with my thoughts on particular things of the day. And I'll be clear, I very much try to form those thoughts on a biblical basis. Obviously, it's very, very critical for the Christian to develop a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview. And you do that by being constantly immersed in the Word and in prayer. So it is my hope and prayer that when I pontificate when I expostulate on certain things, when I exegete certain things within the world and try to address them on a biblical address them from my own opinion, I try to make sure that opinion is formed upon a biblical worldview. Again, I'm human. I'm not perfect. So there may be times where I run off the rails, and I will do my best not to do so because I don't want to be a stumbling block for you. So that is also in it. And the whole purpose of all of that, to publicly read, to do the prayers, to do the devotional, is to help you all be more immersed in the world, in the Word daily. Again, I do a good bit of reading on my own, and I definitely would say, please don't use this podcast to replace any reading you do or to say, well, this will cover my reading. No, please be in the Word daily. Please be reading in the Word daily. I am outside of doing this. I do a good bit more, and I don't say that pat myself on the back. I'm saying, and I still feel that I'm not reading enough in the scriptures. So I'm still constantly trying to put in more time in the scriptures. And I would definitely recommend that for you, whether you're saved or not. If you're saved, obviously, and I've said this before, that it shapes your walk. It controls your walk in a good way. It points you in the right direction. It directs you on how that walk should look, how it should progress, how it should mature, so that you are truly a witness for Christ in this world. But for the unsaved, it molds and shapes and beats upon the rock that is the heart of all sinners prior to regeneration, prior to coming to a saving faith in Christ. And it prepares the fleshly body for the work of the Holy Spirit. Those are the means that God uses through the Holy Spirit, the use of reading the scripture, being in prayer, and sitting under solid preaching. And so I would definitely encourage you to do that. As well, it will get you ready for the work of the Holy Spirit to come and bring regeneration to you and bring you to the saving faith. So it is critical to both, and that's why I do it out here. I've just felt a need to get out here and help. And so what I do here is I'm sharing with you part of my morning routine, and these are cold reads. I'm reading it with you for the first time, and that's what I thought would be a good thing, is for me to share this part of my morning routine of exposing myself to the Word of God before I start my work day. So this is what I do. So you're sharing it with me. So as is our regular practice, we're going to start with three prayers out of the Valley of Vision. It's a grouping of of Puritan prayers. And the first two here are resting on God and grace and trials, as they are each day, or each episode, I should say, to get our minds off of the fleshly things and get us focused on the things of God. So let's go ahead and get reading. So resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond. Thy goodness, no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. All right, now grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. And now the second day morning, Monday being the second day of the week, second day morning, God over all. O God, all-sufficient, thou hast made and upholdest all things by the power of thy word. By the word of thy power. Darkness is thy pavilion. Thou walkest on the wings of the wind. All nations are nothing before thee. One generation succeeds another, and we hasten back to the dust. The heavens we behold will vanish away, like the clouds that cover them. The earth we tread on will dissolve as a morning dream. But thou, unchangeable and incorruptible, art forever and ever. God over all, blessed eternally. Infinitely great and glorious art thou. We are thy offspring and thy care. Thy hands have made and fashioned us. Thou hast watched over us with more than parental love, more than maternal tenderness. Thou hast holden our soul and life, and not suffered our feet to be moved. Thy divine power has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Let us bless thee at all times, and forget not how thou hast forgiven our iniquities, healed our diseases, redeemed our lives from destruction, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfied our mouths with good things, renewed our youth like the eagles. May thy holy scriptures govern every part of our lives and regulate the discharge of all our duties, so that we may adorn thy doctrine in all things. Amen. All right, take a drink of coffee here. Definitely good coffee this morning. All right, and now our morning reading for September 26 from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The scripture for this article is Zechariah 1:8. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses, speckled and white. The vision in this chapter describes the condition of Israel in Zechariah's day, but being interpreted in its aspect towards us, it describes the Church of God as we find it now in the world. The church is compared to a myrtle grove, flourishing in a valley. It is hidden, unobserved, secreted, courting no honor and attracting no observation from the careless gazer. The church, like her head, has a glory, but it is concealed from carnal eyes, for the time of her breaking forth in all her splendor is not yet come. The idea of tranquil security is also suggested to us, for the myrtle grove in the valley is still and calm, while the storm sweeps over the mountain summits. Tempests bend their force upon the craggy peaks of the Alps, but down yonder, where flows the stream which maketh glad the city of our God, the myrtles flourish by the still water, all unshaken by the impetuous wind. How great is the inward tranquility of God's church! Even when opposed and persecuted, she has a peace which the world gives not, and which therefore it cannot take away. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps the hearts and minds of God's people. Does not the metaphor forcibly picture the peaceful, perpetual growth of the saints? The myrtle sheds not her leaves. She is always green, and the church in her worst time still hath a blessed verdure of grace. Hath a blessed verdure of grace about her. Nay, she has sometimes exhibited most verdure when her winter has been sharpest. She has prospered most when her adversities have been most severe. Hence the text hints at victory. The myrtle is the emblem of peace and a significant token of triumph. The brows of conquerors were bound with myrtle and with laurel, And is not the church ever victorious? Is not every Christian more than a conqueror through him that loved him? Living in peace, do not the saints fall asleep in the arms of victory? Amen. All right. And on to our reading. All right. Our scriptures for today is 2 Samuel 22, Galatians 2, Ezekiel 29, and Psalm 78, verses 1 through 37. We won't read the whole psalm today. So 2 Samuel 22. And David spoke to Yahweh the words of this song in the day that Yahweh delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you saved me from violence. I call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of vileness terrorized me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh, and I called to my God, and out of his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of heaven were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens and came down, with thick darkness under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew, and he appeared upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness canopies around him, a mass of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. Yahweh thundered from heaven, and the Most High gave forth his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and threw them into confusion. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare by the rebuke of Yahweh at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but Yahweh was my support. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the way of Yahweh, and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless toward him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before his eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind, with the blameless you show yourself blameless, with the pure you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you show yourself astute. And you save an afflicted people, but your eyes are on the haughty whom you bring down. For you are my lamp, O Yahweh, and Yahweh illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but Yahweh? And who is a rock but our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, and sets me on my high places. He trains my hands for battle, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your answer to me makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my ankles have not given way. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. And I have consumed them and crushed them so that they did not rise, and they fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me. Excuse me. And I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to Yahweh, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them fine as the dust of the earth. I pulverized and stamped them as the mire of the streets. You have also delivered me from the contentions of my people. you have kept me as head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners fade away and come trembling out of their fortresses. Yahweh lives, and blessed be my rock. And let God, the rock of my salvation, be lifted high. The God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also brings me out from my enemies. You even lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. He gives great salvation to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his seed forever. Excuse me, needed a drink of coffee there. All right. Galatians 2. Then after 14 years, this is Paul continuing with his testifying about himself. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. And I went up because of a revelation, and I laid out to them the gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles. But I did so in private to those who were of reputation, lest somehow I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But this was because of the false brothers secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to enslave us. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even a moment, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. But from those who were of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. While those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who works in Peter unto his apostleship to the circumcised worked in me also unto the Gentiles, and recognized the grace that had been given to me. James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. Only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I also was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to shrink back and separate himself, fearing the party of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before everyone, "If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." And Ezekiel 29. "In the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, Thus says Lord Yahweh, Behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lies in the midst of his canals of the Nile, that has said, My Nile is mine, and I myself have made it. I will put hooks in your jaws, and make the fish of your canals of the Nile cling to your scales, and I will bring you up out of the midst of your canals of the Nile, and all the fish of your canals of the Nile will cling to your scales. I will abandon you to the wilderness, you and all the fish of your canals of the Nile. You will fall on the open field. You will not be brought together or gathered. I have given you for food to the beasts of the earth and to the birds of the sky. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt will know that I am Yahweh, because they have been only a staff made of reed to the house of Israel. When they seized you with the hand, you tore and split open all their shoulders. And when they leaned on you, you broke and made all their loins quake. Therefore, thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I will bring upon you a sword, and I will cut off from you man and beast. The land of Egypt will become a desolation and waste. Then they will know that I am Yahweh, because you said, the Nile is mine, and I have made it. Therefore, behold, I am against you, and against your canals of the Nile, and I will make the land of Egypt an utter waste and desolation, from Migdol to Cyrene, and even to the border of Ethiopia. A man's foot will not pass through it, and the foot of a beast will not pass through it, and it will not be inhabited for 40 years. So I will make the land of Egypt a desolation in the midst of desolated lands, and her cities in the midst of cities that are laid waste will be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and disperse them among the lands. For thus says Lord Yahweh, at the end of 40 years I will gather the Egyptians from the peoples among whom they were scattered. I will return the fortunes of Egypt, and make them return to the land of Pathros, to the land of their origin, and there they will be a lowly kingdom. It will be the lowest of the kingdoms, and it will never again lift itself up above the nations. And I will make them so small that they will not have dominion over the nations. And it will never again be the security of the house of Israel, bringing to remembrance the iniquity of their having turned to go after Egypt. Then they will know that I am Lord Yahweh. Now in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made his military force labor hard against Tyre. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder was rubbed bare. But he and his military force had no wages from Tyre for the labor that he had labored against it. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will carry off her abundance and capture her spoil and seize her plunder, and it will be wages for his military force. I have given him the land of Egypt for his work, which he labored because they acted for me, declares Lord Yahweh. On that day, I will make a horn sprout for the house of Israel, and I will open your mouth in their midst. Then they will know that I am Yahweh. All right, and finally, we're going to read Psalm 78, verses 1 through 37. Give ear, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will pour forth dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have recounted to us. We will not conceal them from their children, but recount to the generation to come the praises of Yahweh, and his strength and his wondrous deeds that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and set a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and recount them to their children, that they should set their confidence in God, and not forget the deeds of God, but observe his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law. So they forgot his acts, and his wondrous deeds that he had shown them. He did wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He split the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. Then he led them with the clouds by day, and all the night with a light of fire. He was splitting the rocks in the wilderness, and so gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the cliff face, and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they still continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert, and in their heart they put God to the test. but asking for food according to their desire. I'm sorry, by asking for food according to their desire. Then they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he prepare meat for his people?" Therefore Yahweh heard and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the skies above, and he opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat, and gave them grain from heaven. Man ate the bread of angels. He sent them provision to satisfy. He led forth the east wind in the heavens, and by his strength he guided the south wind. Then he rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl like the sand of the seas. He caused them to fall in the midst of his camp, all around his dwelling place. So they ate and were very satisfied, and their desire he brought to them. Before they had satisfied their desire, while their food was in their mouth, the anger of God rose against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choicest men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous deeds. So he brought their days to an end in futility and their years in sudden terror. When he killed them, then they sought him and returned and sought earnestly for God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they deceived him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not prepared to remain with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. And that ends our reading of Psalm 78 for today. We'll finish it up tomorrow, or read more of it. I think we finish it up tomorrow, but we'll read more of it tomorrow. And those are our readings for the day. I should have said this at the beginning, but I'll go ahead and say it now just to make sure I did say it in this podcast, that the links to everything I'm reading will be in the show notes. I try to do that with every episode so that you can read along with me if that helps you. But at the same time, and I do this as well when I'm doing the podcast, I read from where those links are. It makes the print bigger. I'm on a big computer monitor, so it makes the print bigger. So it's easier for me to read while I'm trying to record. And definitely a place you can go. But I also include in the show notes links so you can get hard copies of what I'm reading from. Because I would definitely recommend it. And full confession, I do not have a hard copy of the Legacy Standard Bible yet. However, as I've said before, my wife and I are looking at them and planning out which one to get for our household. So we will have one. But again, I would definitely encourage you to have the hard copies, but the links are in there so you can follow along with me. And maybe so you can even do some other reading of your own. I would definitely recommend, like I read a second day morning prayer, and then I read the morning, Spurgeon morning and evening. I would definitely read the evening prayer and the evening morning and evening. I try to do that every day as well. Not just the morning one. It's definitely worth your while. So I would definitely encourage you to go do that. I'm grateful that you've spent your time with me this morning and we've been able to share in this part of my morning routine. I would definitely pray that this time together would have a positive effect for you, not to set you up in morality. The fact is, walking around in morality without a saving faith in Christ is fruitless. That's just fact. There is only one way to eternal salvation, and that is Christ. There's no other religion, there's no other faith, there's no other way. Christ is very clear that he is the way of the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to a saving faith in Christ. He is the only way. That saving faith in Christ is the only way to eternity with God. And believe me, the only alternative to eternity to God is eternity in hell. And it is not some party like folks think. It is an eternity of having poured on you the wrath of God. And that is something that all should fear. So anyways, let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we've been able to spend this time in the morning together, that we've been able to immerse ourselves in prayer and devotion from godly men that you set before us, and then spend some time in your word. Lord, we would pray that for all of us, it would shape us. It would shape our thoughts. It would shape our approach. It would shape our walks. That for those that are saved for us, that it would equip us and edify us. And for those that aren't, that it would more and more prepare our fleshly bodies to get us ready for the work of your Holy Spirit and bringing us to regeneration and to a saving faith in Christ. And Lord, we would pray for those. I know that you indicate that not all would be saved, but Lord, I would pray that those out there, anybody who bothers to listen to me, and I don't expect many, because I'm not doing any great thing and it's not for me, it's for your honor and glory. But that if they would hear, that it would break down the flesh, that it would bring the humility, that it would take away any perception of being a good person, being a nice person, being good enough, being better than the guy next to me, which is not the right criteria. Our comparison of goodness is against God, and we will always fail that. But that a realization that the only thing that would bring us to a saving faith in Christ is the death and resurrection of your Son, his dying and taking the punishment for our sins. Because, Lord, we are sinful from birth. We are sinful from birth. And our only means of salvation, our only means to be able to stand holy and blameless before you, is if we stand before you draped in the righteousness of Christ. And, Lord, we would pray that for all those listening. Dear Lord, please be with us as we walk out into the day and help our time this morning shape us so that we would be witnesses of Christ in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Go have yourself a great day. If you got any tough things going on, I would pray that God would bring you grace and peace during that time and would help you to be able to walk through it and to trust in him to bring you through these times. All right. I hope you have a wonderful day, and may God bless you. Have a good one.